Now, hard to believe, but it is week 4 of the Time to Connect project with Lena Cronin from Cork ETB. And hello again, Lena.
Hi, Linda. Nice to talk to you again.
Week 4. Hard to believe, isn't it?
It's hard to believe. And I must say, people, I've got lots of lovely letters this week. And I think the focus really this week has been on poetry, which is really good because we're going to introduce a poetry competition at the end of the programme. But also I was thinking that, you know, in times of grief and in hard times, people always seem to go back to poetry. So today I have a really well-constructed poem by Michael Downing Jr. I was telling you last week that a 103-year-old woman had written a lovely poem. I just needed to check out the, was heard that it was okay to read it on the radio. And that's from Sister Alphonsus in West Cork. So I hope she's listening to us today because her poem is beautiful, it's full of hope, and it's full of energy. I must say as well, hello to Sheila Gleason, because Sheila was the first person who sent us a poem, and Sheila has written her second poem. I don't know if we'll get time to read it or not today, but thanks to Sheila for doing that.
Yeah, and it's brilliant, and you've got such an amazing response for this, for such a simple idea, lovely idea, and but people are really responding to it, aren't they?
I think they are, really. You know, it's a combination of letters and thoughts, and some woman now from West Cork sent me a song during the week. And actually, I got my first poem in Irish as well, which was really lovely. I don't think my Irish is up to reading that out. But,
come on now. It's next week now. You've said it now on air that you have an Irish poem. Next week, you're going to have to read it out. Ascoilga.
Next week, maybe, Linda. Next week. But it was really lovely because actually I got it from a woman in West Cork that I know. And who's an Irish speaker, and I suppose I'm saying this because it's in Irish, and also it was the first poem she ever wrote. And I think there are lots of people out there worried about their writing, and you know, that their writing is too simple, or that poetry is beyond them, or you know, whatever. And it's not really. It's, you know, I think when any of us look at the blank page, it can be frightening. But we all have something to say, and I think Sister Alphonsus will say that at the end of her poem as well. So yeah, maybe next week or the week after, I'll brush up on my Irish and I'll read out the Irish.
That's
poem.
A promise, you heard it here, folks. Ascoilge next week or the week after. let's kick things off. So with the first poem.
So I'm going to read the poem by Michael Downing Jr. It's quite a long poem. It's called Guests on This Planet, and it's very well crafted, and it really deals with COVID, I think, in all its aspects. But also I think what's really important about it is that he says we're all one race, one nation now. So Guests on This Planet by Michael Downing Jr. In a world driven by money and power, success measured by bank balances accumulating by the hour, has society forgotten about the people fighting wars and igniting evil? Sophisticated war machines on blueprint they invest. Maximum destruction, please. We want no less. A contagion is spreading, no boundaries it knows, for an infection is not fussy of the host where it goes. No colour, no race, no boundary it fears, but for the vulnerable and old, it ends up in tears. A document once presented on the dangers ahead, yet the world leaders remain focused on their economies instead. Lock down the call, retreat behind walls, our distance must keep, as our brothers do fall. Superpower governments in a state of inertia as our doctors and nurses become the militia. Missiles replaced by microbes so small, efforts of containment not fruitful at all. B-52s, guns and ammunition, of what use are they now when patients need oxygen? Politicians, actors, models and engineers have now become equal in a world without sneers. The irrelevance of the Kardashians is now quite clear when the world we live in is shrouded in fear. From out of the window, our elders do glance for the hope of an embrace, but can't take that chance. Admiration aplenty for all medical staff timelessly working on mankind's behalf in the trenches of fighting without adequate equipment. Respect to you all for your sincere commitment. Levels of pollution have plummeted dramatically. A scientist may have a new environment climatically. A lifetime of studies can now be proven to point out to the government which way this world should be moving. Our world's population has now become one race. Humanity and compassion together we embrace. Staying home off the streets, not visiting our friends, is the only way we have until this war ends. Video calls and text messages, our method of communication, will lead to the rewards for our dedication. On this planet we live, no rights we can claim. The earth was surviving before humans ever came. It existed without us in circles spinning round, but as guests on this planet, we should nurture its ground. A message to this generation, I think, is being sent to alter our actions or else to repent. So that very lovely poem is by Michael Downing Jr.
Brilliantly written, isn't it?
Absolutely. So well constructed and covers everything, really.
Yeah, and I do like the lines in it, and where he mentions the celebrities and the irrelevance really now of it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think we've all been levelled a little bit by this, haven't we?
I think so, and that everybody is really equal and we're all one nation and one people, really.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Well done to Michael Downey Jr. for that.
Absolutely.
It's really, really well done. Now on to our, we spoke about it last week. I'm intrigued to hear this one. It was written by a 103-year-old, remind me what her name is, sister?
Sister Alphonsus O'Brien, who's 103 years old.
Unbelievable.
And it was delightful, really. You know, as well as the poem being really nice, it was just really nice to think that somebody of that age is writing poetry and is just putting it out there, really, you know, and is very happy to have it read on the radio as well. And I hope, really, that both Michael's poem and Sister Alphonse's now will encourage people to write in the competition, which we're going to talk about in the end. So it's called The Virus by Sister Alphonsus O'Brien. There's a curve in the virus, so they say. It's the same old story from day to day. We're bored and we're stiff and we can't get out. They can see in, but I can see out. But dear Mother Nature is here to protect each tiny seed, each chick in its nest. Her presence is clear, her magic is all round. Just see the wee daisies alive on the ground. The bee's buzzing sound is music to hear as she flies all around in the flower box so near. So away with the virus, away with our fears. God, our Father, stands by us to wipe every tear. He loves and he cares. Each one has a call, the smallest, the weakest, the least one of all. So that is a poem from Sister Alphonsus O'Brien, and actually the Irish poem by Margaret Peters. I'll just read the last line of it today because it corresponds to that, and it says, we don't really know what God has in store for us. August Cavis doing knock of alert at all force a love a day.
Yeah, and it's very true, isn't it? And I love that Sister Alphonse O'Brien, the tone of her poem is so different to Michael's one. But equally so relevant. I mean, she says it all. I mean, it's beautifully. Again, I'm so impressed at how well written all these poems have been. And bear in mind, guys, if you're listening to this, these are not professional poets. These are just people who enjoy writing poetry.
That's what I think, really. And that's why I think, you know, poems can be simple. And absolutely, one of the ones I'm going to read as an example of a haiku later on, it's so simple, but it's so profound, you know. So nobody should be afraid, really, of putting pen to paper.
No, absolutely.
What I'm trying to say.
Give it a go. I mean, honestly, if the last few weeks have proven anything with this segment that we're doing, give it a go. It's definitely well worth trying it. So let's get Sheila's poem in. So of course, Sheila was one of the first ones that we read out, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Sheila Gleeson down there in Killa, this is her second poem, and it's called Halcyon Days. I'm a great granny, aged 78. The story to you I will relate. I remember so well when I was young, I jumped and played and frolicked for fun. Those were the days to be young and free, and I thought nothing of climbing a tree. But now, alas, these halcyon days are over, and I'm just approaching that field of clover. I went dancing in lots of places, now I can barely tie up my laces. When I hear music in my head, the spirit is willing, but my feet are like lead. And as I shuffle across the room, my dancing partner is just the broom. My grandchildren, too, just leave me alone and ask me if I could sing them a song. But I cannot remember the words come out wrong. And then she has put at the end, as the old saying goes, it's around for so long, my get up and go has got up and gone. So Sheila has obviously a great sense of humour.
Yeah, it's brilliant in fairness. And well done to Sheila again, because our first poem was beautiful as well. I remember that one we read out in the week one, all those weeks back, Lena. I remember Sheila's one going out there.
Really lovely.
Lovely, lovely in fairness. So we have made reference to a competition for the last couple of minutes. We have snuck it in there. So we are going to launch a competition. Do you want to give the listeners an idea as to what the competition is going to be about?
The competition is going to be about poetry, and we thought we would ask for limericks and we would ask for haiku. The limericks, because they're funny and they're short, and the haiku because it's equally short and profound. So the limerick, the limerick competition, there's a voucher for €70 for Waterstones for the winner of that, and there's a voucher for €70 for the winner of the haiku, a voucher for Cork Art Supplies.
Yeah, and they're now fabulous prizes.
Sorry, Linda?
Yeah, they're fabulous prizes, but we better explain to people the difference between a limerick and a haiku, just in case people aren't aware of those differences.
I will. So the limerick, a lot of people would probably have heard them and maybe forgotten, but they're five lines in length, and they're really kind of humorous and nonsense or a bit of comedy. And it starts off by setting up the joke in the first few lines and then ends with the punchline on the last line. The thing about the limerick is that it rhymes. The first and second line rhyme with the fifth line, and the third and fourth line have a different rhyming scheme. So probably the most famous one is by a man called Edward Lear, and it's, there was an old man with a beard who said, it's just as I feared, two owls and a hen, four larks and a wren have all built their nests in my beard. So you can see that beard and feared rhymed, and it rhymes with beard again at the end, and then hen and wren are the third and fourth lines. So it's a five lines in length, with an A-A-B-B-A rhyme. I'll just read another one by George Bernard Shaw. So Langford Reed saved the limerick verse from being taken away in a hearse. He made it so clean, now it's fit for a queen, re-established for better or worse. So it's a nonsense rhyme, really, with a bit of comedy. Now, the haiku is very different. So the limerick is five lines. It's got rhyming, and I know a lot of you like to put rhyming in your poems, so that might suit some people. And those who are probably not that interested in rhyming, the haiku doesn't have to rhyme at all. The haiku is a Japanese short poem. It's three lines in length. It does have 17 syllables, five in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. But to be honest, nowadays people don't worry about the syllables at all. So if you want to write the haiku, it's a three lines poem. And I'll just read out an example. So Basho and Isa were famous Japanese haiku masters. So one from Basho is, lightning, heron's cry, stabs the darkness. Or another one, won't you come and see loneliness, just one leaf from the kiri tree. And then Isa has one, all the times I pray to Buddha, I keep on killing mosquitoes. And then I came across a very lovely one by, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this woman's name properly, Kishu Ni. She was a wandering nun in the 18th century, and I think it's really, really beautiful. The spirit, the truth of silent prayer, just the moon on the road. And then some Irish people like Michael Hartnett, who was a limerick poet from Newcastle West. He died a few years ago. He was an amazing Irish poet, really, but at one point he wrote some haiku. And it shows really that while for Japanese, I suppose the haiku is often concerned with nature and eternity, other people have written about ordinary things like being in the pub. So now, Michael Hartnett, now in Inchicore, my cigarette smoke rises like lonesome pub talk. Or hopeful telephones tinkle in the empty house. Sorry, wrong number. And quite sad and profound one, I suppose the last one. In the sad canal, my face and a broken wheel, debris of dead tribes. So really, that's the haiku. And the first one was the limerick. And we thought if people would write in, that would be really great.
So for what we're saying, I do. So the themes for the limerick, the suggestions are place, community or friendship. And the themes for the haiku are nature, love or hope. And the big thing with this, guys, is to give it a go. Like, yes, there's different formats and stuff for limerick and haikus. But I think the most important thing, Lena, is just to have a go off it. We're not worried about syllables and the right amount of syllables we're and the right amount of places. It's more about just encouraging people to give this a go. Two fab prizes up for grabs, a €70 Waterstones voucher for the limerick and a €70 voucher for Cork Art Supplies as well for the haiku. The easiest way to get this, guys, is to drop it in here to the station. We're here at Nagle House, South Abbey. Drop your submissions in here to us or email reception@cry104fm.com. Email it on to us and we will pass it on to Lena. Now, we're going to run this over a few weeks, Lena, aren't we?
We are. I suppose if I could have it by next Monday so I can look at the entries. And then we would read it out probably on Tuesday. And we'll do it for 4 weeks. And then depending on, you said maybe the listeners will vote for their favourite.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is if we have a weekly winner, and then we can put the 4 weekly winners up for vote, and then people can vote on their favourite one, and then that person will win the voucher.
Yeah, that sounds good. So yeah, we should have an overall winner then on June the 30th, let's say. So yeah, if people would send them in as quickly as they can, I suppose. But if I could have them no later than next Monday, that would be really good.
Yeah, brilliant. And as I said, just email them in here, reception@cry104fm.com, or drop them into Nagle House here in South Abbey in Youghal, and we will make sure that Lena gets those entries. As always, Lena, thanks a million for joining us. We're heading into week 5 next week. It's hard to believe. It's honestly where the time is going, I don't know. But thanks a million. As always, we'll get all this information and this interview will be available as podcast as well. So you'll be able to have a listen back to the details on the limericks and the haikus as well. Lena Cronin, Cork ETB, thanks a million for joining me.
Thank you, Linda. Take care. Bye now.